أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم ومن الناس من يشري نفسه ابتغاء مرضات الله والله رؤوف بالعباد In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate, respectable audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By the grace and will of Almighty Allah, we are going to talk about the biography of the first infallible Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. So after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, some extraordinary events and incidents took place that indeed they were to somehow were not expected by too many adherents of the Imam Ali alayhi salam and the pious and faithful Muslims. Because there were too many narrations, there were too many quotations, narratives by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in different occasions for approving and substantiating the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So our Holy Prophet wanted to pave the backgrounds for this, that his successor should come without any trouble, without any disagreements of his other companions. But indeed, what took place practically, what took place in the practical world, indeed that was not that our Holy Prophet expected from his companions. You know that on this matter, the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, have been categorized and divided into three groups and categories. The first were Ansar. You know that the Ansar are composed of two major tribes of Medinites. So these two tribes are composing the Ansars. So they have come in the Saqifah Bani Tha'idah and try to make a leader for themselves. But due to some disagreements among themselves internally, they could not come to an agreement. And because of this, they could not pinpoint a leader for themselves. It means that they could not come to this unanimous agreement amongst one another that a person should be specified for them to be as a leader of the Muslims. The Sa'd, who was leading the Khazraj people, indeed he came and showed tendency towards Muhajirin. In Muhajirin, they were the second category of the people. And on the head of these people, there were Abu Bakr, the first caliph, and his people, the one who were thinking like him. So when this tendency were shown by the Ansar to Muhajirin, so of course they came to this agreement that a leader must be chosen by them. But the third category of the people were Imam Ali alayhi salam and his close relatives, adherents, that they thought and they had this outlook, they had this worldview that Imam must be chosen by divine, and indeed it has been chosen, it has been done in different occasions. Our Holy Prophet has said and has approved and has authenticated this matter for the public and for the people. And the most splendid of them was the event of Ghadir Khum. So all were having this memory in their minds, and these were echoing in their ears that Bakhin, Bakhin, Ya Ali. So these were the words of the first and second caliphs that were congratulating the leadership of Imam Ali alayhi salam over the Muslim. But due to these internal disagreements, or somewhat some of the people had hostility indeed with Imam Ali alayhi salam, because Imam Ali alayhi salam during the holy wars had killed some of their fathers or the relatives, but due to the sake of Almighty Allah, due to seeking Almighty Allah's pleasure, and there is no doubt about this that the war was between monotheism and polytheism. And Imam Ali alayhi salam, in his utmost struggle, he was trying his best to pave the backgrounds for monotheism or monotheistic approach. And due to this, the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, unanimously could not come to the side of Imam Ali alayhi salam. And due to this, they chose what our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did not do it. In this circumstance that Imam Ali alayhi salam had faced with these three types of the people, and indeed from another side there were also some hypocrites, there were some ignorant Arabs that they were longing for this moment that, oh, Muhammad should die and we will go and we'll return to our forefathers' religion, to our forefathers' traits and traditions and customs. There is no need that we have to embrace the newborn religion. So there were too many threats. So in this circumstance, Imam Ali alayhi salam was indeed remarkably, his approach is noteworthy. For if he wanted to take his personal right with armed forces, or with this that he has to resort to fight with the rest of the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, so there were too many dangers, there were too many menaces, not only for himself, but also for his relatives, for his sons, for his family, for the rest of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Due to this, Imam Ali salam chose the most subtle and the most delicate manner to go in this manner, in this path. But again, he did not legitimize the manner of choosing the caliph of the Muslims. In one of the places, it should be noted, it should be kept in mind that the devotees of Imam Ali alayhi salam plus Imam Ali alayhi salam and Ibn Abbas, the rest of the noble companions of the Holy Prophet, in protesting, in neglecting what the companions choose for themselves, they sit in Hadrat Zahra's house in protest, in this that they have to show their reluctance, in this to show their disagreement with the decision they have taken, without consultations, without this, that their words had to be considered, their opinions had to be taken into account, or the explicit narrations of our Holy Prophet had to be paid attention. So they had protested on these three negative aspects of the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but eventually they were forced to come in mask, and eventually they were forced to have their allegiance in favor of the first caliph. But again, Imam Ali alayhi salam, in that ceremony, in that place where he was brought by force, he stood there and delivered a very, very good speech and said that, O Muhajir tribe, or O faction of Muhajir, you know that you are not to take this government from us that has been established by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. By God, we, the noble family, are praiseworthy. We are more deserving than the rest of the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. We are having more comprehensive knowledge about the holy verse of the Quran, about the holy prophetic narrations, our holy prophetic traditions. And thirdly, we are more just and fair dealing with the people. It makes no difference. They have to be our relatives, or they should not be from our progenies. So in this demonstration that Imam Ali alayhi salam brings, he stresses, or he emphasizes on three very important pillars, and that is the characteristics, they are the conditions of Imam according to the Shi'ites. The first is a comprehensive knowledge on divine books, not only the Holy Quran, but also the rest of the books. And it is indeed clear for all, in both the Shi'ites and the Sunnis resources, it has been said that أَتْقَاهُمْ عَلِي أَقْضَاهُمْ عَلِي, he is more just, he is indeed more pious than the rest of the companions. A'daluhum Ali. So these words of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, made it clear for all that Imam Ali alayhi salam is equipped with some certain remarkable characteristics that the rest of the companions are not having those. The second element Imam Ali alayhi salam stresses and emphasizes that is that he is well aware of traditions in the sunnah of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And thirdly, they are just, more just, and they will manage the society and the social affairs with justice, with fairness. So the caliph or the person who leads the Muslim, but he is lacking one of these three mentioned qualities, indeed he will be failing. He will not be able to fulfill, to establish justice amongst the people. He will not be able to give the due commandments in the due precepts of Almighty Allah. So it is very much dangerous. The person who leads the Muslim, he has to commit mistake. For the person who is bigger, his commits will be also the biggest. That much the person is having or owning sensitive and decisive positions. If he commits mistakes, that much his mistakes will be thought as blunders and will be fatal and indeed deadly mistakes. So due to this, these are the characteristics, these are the conditions according to the Shias that Imam or the leader or the caliph who succeeds our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, he has to be equipped with these three qualities, that he has to have extensive knowledge. And secondly, he has to be fully acquainted of our holy prophetic narrations, our holy prophetic traditions. And thirdly, he himself should also be a pious man, that he behaves and treats the people with fairness and with justice. According to the narrations that has been narrated and has been quoted from the Shia's resources, there was a debate between the first caliph and Imam Ali alayhi salam, and he talked about his virtues personally and talked about his fluency and his eloquency. All he had, he described for the first caliph that, oh, am I not deserving this authority or this power? Am I not having these qualities? Am I not the one whom our Holy Prophet had said that you are this caliph? My itra has to be put or has to be set or settled beside the holy verse of the Quran, that the people or the community should not be misguided. Am I not? Am I not Siddiq Akbar? So this Siddiq Akbar was the virtues Imam Ali alayhi salam talked about himself. Am I not Farooq? But you know that these adjectives or these qualities has been drilled from our holy Imam to the rest of the companions of our holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, step by step and gradually.
This is the Call of Islam.
And you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
But again, having all these characteristics, but again the question arises, especially for our Sunni brothers, that okay, if that is the case, and Imam Ali alayhi salam was the most courageous of all, and he was the bravest, he was the boldest of all, so why he did not fight, why he did not take this war to take his right? The legitimate right that Imam Ali alayhi salam was given by our Holy Prophet, and he was also ordered by Almighty Allah in various verses of the Holy Quran, especially about in this verse of the Holy Quran that says, Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik wa illam taf'al fama ballaghta risalata wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. In this verse of the Holy Quran, Almighty Allah warns our Holy Prophet that if you do not do this, if you do not announce this message or this revelation, it is as if you have not done your message at all. So this means that It implies that this verse of the Holy Quran was very much important, that the rest of the responsibility that has been done by our Holy Prophet, it lies on this, that the last message has to be talked about, has to be conveyed for the people. It is a unanimously agreement amongst all commentators that this verse of the Holy Quran was revealed on Hajjatul Wada', the last pilgrimage that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was accompanied by the people. So again, the question, as I said, arises in the minds of the people that, okay, why our Holy Imam or Imam Ali alayhi salam, knowing, understanding that the rest of the companions are not comparable with his personality, indeed there will be some malfunctions, there will be some wrongdoings if he is not at the top of the official rank of Islamic community. So why he left the affairs for the rest of the caliphs? Does it not mean that he has legitimized it? Does not his silence mean that he has approved, he has authenticated, he has substantiated the Khilafat in a manner that our Sunni brothers are talking about? I should mention and break it that talking about Imamah, talking about the situation that has been passed centuries ago, that will be beneficial on conditions that it should be propounded on scientific atmosphere amongst the intellectuals, amongst the thinkers, amongst their indeed open-minded people. And it should not be mixed with biasness, with prejudices, with some preconceptions. As fair and indeed as the ones that they have to deal with this question, if we approach, that will be correct and that will be troubleshooting. Otherwise, with prejudices, if we deal with this question, indeed that will be a matter of diversity, that will be a matter of disagreement. The same thing that Imam Ali alayhi salam was also opposite of. Imam Ali alayhi salam did not fight only for the sake of these, that disagreements amongst the Muslim community should not be brought, or there should not be diversity, or there should not be disunity amongst the Muslim community. Otherwise, Abu Sufyan and the rest of the companions, they propounded, they suggested this, that we are with you, we will be fighting with you, that you have to reach and you have to attain and achieve your right, the legitimate right that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has delegated to you. But again, what were the menaces, what were the threats that Imam Ali alayhi salam was scared of? That due to those threats, due to those menaces, Imam Ali alayhi salam did not fight. Yes, courage does not mean that every time we are courageous, or if a person was courageous, he has to fight. No. Courageous men are also sometimes, especially about Imam Ali alayhi salam, though he is the most courageous one, but again, he is the cleverest of all too. He is the pious one too. He is the most pious of all. He is the most faithful of all. All means amongst the companions. Otherwise, our Holy Prophet's status cannot be compared with our Imam Ali alayhi salam. But again, why he did not fight? So there are, and there were too many threats that Imam Ali alayhi salam was afraid of. Otherwise, he would have done it. What were those threats? The first is this, that at the time of our Holy Prophet also, there were too many that they were apparently Muslims. They were Muslims apparently, but again, on the most decisive moments, they were leaving our Holy Prophet behind themselves. And they were leaving our Holy Prophet alone in the battlefield, in the ground. We are his existence, we are his being was in menace, and we are his being were indeed in jeopardized. So when his existence were jeopardized, they left him, our Holy Prophet, alone. And this is what our Almighty Allah also says in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 153. That says, وَطَائِفَةٌ قَدْ أَهَمَّتْهُمْ أَنفُسُهُمْ يَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ غَيْرَ الْحَقِّ ظَنَّ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ يَقُولُونَ هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. They had too many bad imaginations and suppositions on Almighty Allah. Even they they lost their faith on Almighty Allah. So another verse of the Holy Quran that also gives us news or gives us acquaintance about this, that after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, there will be categorizations, there will be divisions amongst the Muslim community. That is this verse of the Holy Quran, that وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولُ. Firstly, the second caliph denied the death and the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But the first caliph said, okay, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was a messenger and he has to die as the rest of the messengers have died. So all these verses indicate that there were some people that they indeed were not wholeheartedly faithful, pious people. And they were opportunists. The time that their benefits and interests were lying with Islamic approach, they were Muslims. But again, on the time that the threat was there, or there were some menaces being Muslims, they were showing tendency towards the rest of the people. You know that some of them were going and communicating with the head of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay. And some of them were taking refuge from Abu Sufyan. So why these people, one of the threats, one of the menaces Imam Ali alayhi salam was scared of was these people. That if Imam Ali alayhi salam, God forbid, fought with the rest of the Muslim people, with the rest of the caliphs, for the sake of acquiring his personal legitimate right, so these people would have exploited from the dispersity or diversity of the Muslims, and they would have followed their own personal objectives and their own personal interests. But Imam Ali alayhi salam did not do it, and this threat, the people got secured from this threat. The second threat that Imam Ali alayhi salam was also feeling, that was that some of the people would have returned to their forefather religion. So the Islamic precepts or the Islamic instructions have not rooted in the deep layers of the hearts of the people. So they would have gone, they would have returned by the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Has been witnessed by the Muslims that there were too many in different tribes and different districts that they said that afterwards you are not Muslims, you will not be paying religious taxes, then you, the caliph, should not send us any invite that we have to give you the religious tax. So these were the people. And there were some that they were openly showing and manifesting their apostasy. They were showing this, that afterwards we will not be Muslims. So these were also the menaces Imam Ali alayhi salam was afraid of. The third was that the empires, such as Roman and Persian empires, there were also some menaces that if they saw that the Arab people are having disunity amongst one another, they have disagreements, and that is ended with civil war amongst on them, so they would have exploited from this best opportunity for the sake of acquiring their own objectives and goals and aims. But Imam Ali alayhi salam did not do it, though he was the most courageous. But this courage does not mean that everyone should trample his sagacity or his cleverness or his foresightedness.
This is the Call of Islam, and you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
Yes, the last and the final reason that Imam Ali alayhi salam indeed was not ready to fight or to take a sword to take and acquire his personal legitimate right, that was the unity of the Muslims. You know that the unity of the Muslims were the most remarkable ambition of our holy Imam. During his whole life, if we study thoroughly and deeply, we will find this important matter. that he did not take part in any session. He did not speak in a manner that disunity or diversity amongst the people should be the offshoot and the offspring of his speech. Every time he tried his best to talk about different issues, always he tried to bring the people together and to make the people kind-hearted towards one another. So it is a sadhu accusation that God forbid Imam Ali alayhi salam was the first who came and said that, okay, we disagree with the choice of the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him. Though you know that the choice they had made firstly and basically, that is not true. For it does not derive from Almighty Allah's legitimacy. And Islamic government should have it is legitimacy from Almighty Allah's order, from Almighty Allah's commandment. Even our Holy Prophet's legitimacy, that is also traced from our Almighty Allah. So Almighty Allah is the source, and the rest of the commanders, the rest of the people who come and govern and rule on the people, all of them are emanating, their legitimacy or the legitimate right of them that they govern on the people, that emanates from Almighty Allah, who is the source. Though our Holy Imam was criticizing this manner, that this is not the true manner, this is not the true methodology that you people chose the Caliph, but again, he refrained, he got rid of every kind of methodology that was ended to diversity, that was ended to disunity or disunification amongst the Muslim community. So Imam Ali alayhi salam chose silence for 25 years only for the sake of keeping the Muslims united, for the sake of this, to have the constant process of unification amongst the Muslims. There were too many amongst the Muslims that they were playing the role of the fifth pillar amongst the Muslims. I mean, they were hypocrites, they were double dealings, they were double-faced people, such as Suhail ibn Umar, Harith ibn Hisham, and Akram ibn Abi Jahl. Wherever they were there, they were talking about the opposite virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So the unification and unity amongst the Muslims was one of the ultimate goal of Imam Ali alayhi salam, that for the sake of this, he gave this sacrifice to ignore or to take or to overlook his own personal right. Imam Ali alayhi salam was fully aware of these circumstances because of his full acquaintance of all these offspring. A fight was there, so he did not take part in any fight with the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad peace be upon him, because of Khilafat or because of leadership. So there were some devotees of Imam Ali alayhi salam that they were composing some poems on virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. But because of sensitive of time, because of the sensitiveness, because of the decisive moments, he did not praise the person who composed this poem. That he said, "Do not you think, I have never ever thought that the Muslim should take the leadership from this family? Isn't Imam Ali the person or the first who established the prayer, except indeed our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Amongst the companions, Imam Ali alayhi salam was indeed the first who established the prayer behind our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And again he said, isn't he the most knowledgeable amongst all in respect to Holy Quran and the prophetic tradition? Wasn't he the nearest of all in respect to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? Isn't he the one with whom the Jabra'il and the angel came in the funeral ceremony of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him?" All these poems were in virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam. These were composed. But again, Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he got aware of these poems, an envoy was sent to him and said that, "Salamatu Deen Ahabbu Ilayna min Ghayri." If the religion of Islam became safe and sound from every kind of diversity, from every kind of disunity, that is more praiseworthy to us than every other thing. Or again, in a battle of Siffin, a person from the tribe of Bani Asad has asked Imam alayhi salam that how the Quraysh people dismissed you from the power, it means they did not give the power firstly to you. Imam alayhi salam got angry from this improper manner of asking question or from this irrelevant question. For this, that there were too many amongst his followers that they left the first and second caliph. If Imam alayhi salam talks all about the reality, so there he would have missed too many adherents of him. So because of this irrelevant question, he got angry and said that you have to be careful of your questions and be fully aware of the sensitiveness. But again, he said, for the sake of this that you are Muslim, you have a right that I have to respond to your question. Then he talked about his kinship or his close relation with our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. But again, he said that due to some jealousy, that some people were jealous at that times, we were ignored from this. We were dismissed from this estate, from this position. But again, Almighty Allah would judge amongst us, it means amongst them and the rest of the Quraysh people. These were some reasons behind the meaningful silence of Imam Ali alayhi salam during 25 years. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Inna 'ushaquka ya Haydar. إنا عشاقك يا حيدر نهو الخير ولا نهو الشر نهو الخير ولا نهو الشر العقل بحبك يأمرنا والدين بحبك قد آمر العقل بحبك يأمرنا والدين بحبك قد آمر والدين بحبك قد آمر سودت صحيفة أعمالي ووكلت الأمر إلى حيدر سودت صحيفة أعمالي ووكلت الأمر إلى حيدر هو كفي منه وبالدنيا وشفيعي في يوم المحشر هو كفي منه وبالدنيا وشفيعي في يوم المحشر قد تمت لي بولايته نعم جمت عن أن تشكر قد تمت لي بولايته نعم جمت عن أن تشكر لأصيب بها الحظ الأوفى وأخصص بالسهم الأوفر لأصيب بها الحظ الأوفى وأخصص بالسهم الأوفر بالحفظ من النار الكبرى والأمن من الفزع الأكبر بالحفظ من النار الكبرى والأمن من الفزع الأكبر هل يمنعني وهو الساقي أن أشرب من حوض الكوثر هل يمنعني وهو الساقي أن أشرب من حوض الكوثر أم يطردني عن مائدة وضعت للقانع والمعتر أم يطردني عن مائدة وضعت للقانع والمعتر مولاي مولاي مولا علي مولاي مولاي مولاي